Our reading this morning is entitled Roll the Dice by Charles Bukowski. I invite you to listen with an open heart. If you're going to try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. If you're going to try, go all the way. This could mean losing girlfriends, wives, relatives, jobs, and maybe your mind. Go all the way. It could mean not eating for 3 or 4 days. It could mean freezing on a park bench. It could mean jail. It could mean derision, mockery, isolation. Isolation is the gift. All the others are a test of your endurance, and how much do you really want it? And you'll do it despite the rejection and the worst odds, and it will be better than anything else you can imagine. If you're going to try, go all the way. There is no other feeling like that. You will be alone with the gods, and the nights will flame with fire. Do it. Do it. Do it. All the way. All the way. You will ride life straight to the perfect laughter, and it is the only good fight there is.
When Judy suggested a Charles Bukowski poem for the reading, it was very hard not to want to read that from the pulpit. It's been 11 days since Valentine's Day. It's also been 11 days since the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. We've listened to a lot of commentary and talk, seen a lot of news shows and different ways of approaching it. But people, mostly young people, we've seen being very, very clear. Many side issues have been created or being said to get us away from that clarity. But here's how I said last week that I find strength and resolve, where I focus. In the midst of all that, I focus on the children, on the young people. That focus is most important for me. What is best for children, for the children? By doing that, the complex becomes a lot more clear and simple to me and for me. It's also where I find resolve. It's where I take felt responsibility. It is my duty. It is our duty in the world to help protect and make life good for our children. December 2010, the DREAM Act failed to pass. It would have given conditional residency and a path to permanent residency for undocumented young people who'd grown up in the United States. It would have given that path to our children. My daughter, my child, was in 10th grade then. She had to write a persuasive speech. And her persuasive speech was on what? It was on the DREAM Act. These are my classmates. These are my friends. They live here, and they don't have the rights that I have. That's so wrong. At home, she cried, and so did I, and then that's where my resolve and creativity took form. Catherine Lynch and I were working together at that time. She was at Immaculate Conception. We were on I've forgotten what we called it, but some force where we were holding the sheriff accountable. We were actually checking out ICE checkpoints. I was visiting with Sheriff Davis once a month to get our position in there to him and to have conversation with him. We were doing all kinds of things. And when the DREAM Act failed, we said, what can we do? What can we do for our children right now. We said we can't change what's going on with the immigration laws soon, but we can support our children on their path to adulthood. What kind of town do we want Hendersonville to be? We said, let's focus on that. Let's help our community care. It's simple, clear. And we came up with, let's pay the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition. Our children who'd grown up in Hendersonville had to pay out-of-state tuition to go to Blue Ridge Community College. So we got a grant for $4,000 from the Unitarian Universalist Association. We matched it. Judy Long came on and took this as her affiliate community ministry with this congregation. She brought in other congregations. I'm sure Judy will say more. Our goals were to help our children, to help Hendersonville's children, and then to build relationships between our diverse communities among the people of our town. We've done a good job of building and implementing the scholarship program. It has now become a part of Hendersonville. But we need to work more on those relationships, on really creating that connection of community. Carolina was the first student to come by the office to drop off her application. And just happened that time of day, she had time to talk, and so did I. And she shared a little of her story. This was still a year before DACA, and she was avoiding ICE checkpoints to get to school. I spoke to her this morning, and she reminded me that it took her 11 months to get her DACA documents, and she didn't have those until she was a senior in college. She was not and did not feel safe in her hometown. And she has been, ever since that, sort of the face for me, the personal embodiment of this program and of this situation. She's been its incarnation ever since. And now with repeal of DACA, comes back around, the fear and uncertainty she knew have returned. It's time again to feel and take felt responsibility, to renew our resolve, to take up new challenges. It's our duty in the world to help protect and make life good for our children so they get to do what they do so well, given half a chance. Live, form, and live the dream. It's that clear. Thank you for being here. Thank Judy for all she's done, and thank Carolina for her resolve and her strength of character to live the dream and make it a part of our lives.
As Jim just described, we started this Dream Scholarship after the death of the Dream Act in December 2010. We began planning in 2011, we officially created the program in 2012, and we gave our first awards in August of 2012 for the 12-13 academic year, and Carolina was one of the first recipients. Over the past six academic years, our multi-congregational effort has awarded 33 scholarships to 19 students, and we've given away a total of $71,000. And yes, that is an impressive number. This scholarship is something our congregation can and should feel good about. And as I spoke a few weeks ago, it puts our love into concrete action, and it changes the lives of the recipients. But are we? Is this? Have we done enough? When I think about the scholarship and the intent behind the creation of it, two phrases, and Jim and I talked about this week, two phrases resonate constantly. They flow through my beingness as the foundational principles and our collective call to action. And those phrases are our kids and a community that cares. Our kids, meaning that these are the children of our Henderson County community, raised here, attending our schools, participating in the life of this community in all the myriad of ways that youth do. Integral, intimate people woven into the life of our community. Our kids. And a community that cares. Initially, that phrase was a direct contrast to the inaction at the federal level. So we sought to demonstrate that, unlike the House and Senate, we in Henderson County care. And care we do. But can true care begin and end with just charity? Or does true care call us into relationship, into getting to know, into forming bonds with, and thus being changed by, the youth we claim as our community? When we care as a community, we can and should be able to say, "You know me. I know you. We know each other." But have we really fulfilled that calling to care for our kids? Do we know them at all? Have we listened when they've come to speak? Or have we become complacent and writing a check? A community that cares connects. And connection changes us, calls us to listen and to hear and to understand, and then step out of our complacency into true relationship and the action that calls us to. As we welcome Carolina to our pulpit, may we do so in this spirit of true, deep care, with open minds and hearts and spirit that invite connection, that seek to say, "We know each other." For truly, this is a young woman whose academic journey we have helped support, whose life and journey and story we entered through our intent to care for our kids. But let us live up to our vision, our care, so that we may say and act as if we know each other.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate you being here, and I really appreciate you taking into consideration our experiences. Typically, I have no trouble finding words to express joy, gratitude, hope. It's been a long journey for me, but it's been an even longer journey for others. As we think about this seventh season of giving to the students in our community, there is so much to ponder, to grieve over, and so much justice to be served. I'm not entirely sure anyone, including myself, is ready to hear me attempt to convey despair, frustration, and remorse. On June 15th of 2012, 2 days after my 20th birthday, President Obama granted an executive order we all have come to know as DACA. And as clearly delineated by its title, that's all it was, an action deferred. This deferment meant that 5 short years later, we would suffer a crude awakening to the lack of action that was and is still necessary today. On that day in June, almost 6 years ago, we were given a false sense of hope and promise, but it's a feeling we should have all recognized as one we know too well. I immigrated to this country when I was 2 years old, and yet I'll never be from here, although I'm no longer from there. I sit here empty-handed with a degree on my wall, still bereft of the possibility of belonging. I reside in the threshold of a web of tangled lies and promises, and I wait. Because I've come to learn that please you, I will not. I've already served you, I've waited on you, I've taken your order at your favorite restaurants in town, only to have you look past my existence and our realities. The food is delicious, the service is great, but do you know what we go home to? If the women from church heard these thoughts, surely they'd be quick to their knees, praying for my ability to escape a damnation that came as a courtesy with the flight we booked to immigrate to the most fraudulent of freedoms, the land of the free, if we welcome you. But no one has time to read the disclaimers, right? The hellfire and brimstone, it's all too real for us, reminding us on a daily basis that this is not our home. And that surely, though we are in a better place than back home, We are still separate and not equal. My voice is hoarse, exhausted from this never-ending silence, beat from turning the other cheek to so much indifference, and from some just plain hate. My existence in this country cringes, my dreams forced into a screeching and agonizing halt. Perhaps I'm prettier when I cake on respectability politics, when I hold my place to meet your quotas. Is it my worth that is only there for you to tokenize and profit on my reality? Bless my heart until I beg to differ. My soul has been ripped and branded through the standardization of my tongue, merely another trait on a list that would deem me worthy of belonging here. Just another assimilated child with a funny slur to my words in Spanish, forever condemned to never belong, not theirs and not yours. The unmarked graves on our border tell a story like mine, but I get to complain because unlike them, I survived. I know how their story ended, but mine seems to have no end or no beginning. When you look into the darkness of all the places our tired and migrating souls have wandered, do you finally understand our anguish, our fear, and our resilience? I linger here and there long enough to contemplate the possibility of this American dream, only to be quickly reprimanded by the microaggressions you'll never endure, and haunted by the rage those who stood before you have permanently etched into my existence. I search for the words to convey these inconvenient truths, but the words flow lazy and thick, like molasses begrudgingly spilled into audiences who have heard my plight, only to walk away not having listened. Listen, Hendersonville. Listen, Asheville. Listen, UUC. Listen, Western North Carolina. Listen. We are here, and we are here to stay. I wish I could find the stories that make for happy thoughts and discussions, but the air in my brain is arid, and my voice unwilling to hold the words that would serve you complacency. So just take back the privilege and the weight it puts on my shoulders to seek out those pretty words, the soft words, eloquent and politically correct words, only to find that they're never enough. How will I ever put such a ravaging rage and fire out? My life has been permanently altered simply because I live in the state I live in. Undocumented and documented students are graduating every year, have graduated every year, from our schools and communities, and yet we sit here comfortably in our seats knowing this, but patting ourselves on the shoulder because we have found an innovative and charitable way around it. I don't want innovation. I want comprehensive immigration reform. I want in-state tuition in my home state. I want the ability to pursue state professional licensures. I want my 29-year-old cousin to become a doctor if he chooses to do so, because he deserves it, and because after all the resilience we have demonstrated, it is time that these systems place value where merit calls. I want justice, and you can help me achieve that. If it means flipping seats in Congress, then we do it. If it means calling until our fingers burn and our faces ache from pestering legislators, then we do it. But we don't deliver empty promises and half-assed segregated almost solutions to an issue that has been begging to be heard and properly addressed. You don't have to go overseas to find your tired, your poor, and huddled masses yearning to be free. We are already here. So please help me push for a comprehensive solution to the blatant institutionalized racism we want to sugarcoat as bureaucracy, and help me push for in-state tuition in North Carolina and immigration reform that goes beyond deferred actions. I hope that when you give to our scholarship fund today, you are giving with your heart and full recognition of the power you hold in your voice, in your votes, and in your voices. Thank you.
As we enter this seventh year of our scholarship, with the challenges with DACA before us, May we hear Carolina and be called to, yes, write a big check today, but do more. Pick up the phone and call those legislatures. Work for in-state tuition. Make our voices known on the national and the state level. So we encourage your generosity at this moment, but don't let Carolina's words go hollow. Be the motivation. Let them be the motivation as we step out of today, beyond this moment of generosity, into the rest of our days. Your gift will be very generously given and very gratefully received.